بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I thought I'd clarify some of the questions that would have arisen from the last Fajr reminder with regard to the qualities of the Shaykh and why one must be so conscious of them and look for them and so on and so forth. Now, having said that, let me first also mention a caution, which is that I'm not setting you up to become critics of shuyukh, to sit in judgment on a shaykh to see whether this one is legitimate and the other one is a duplicate or what. The idea is to look at and to check in order to then become a student. This is like Abdullah bin Salam, radiallahu anhu, when he first met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him some questions. And the idea was, he was checking to see, is this really the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now, therefore, there is nothing wrong in you or me checking to see whether a particular teacher is the best teacher for myself. We are not looking to see whether this person is a good person, not person, or good person or not, or you know, that person's status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know any of that. All we are looking at is to see whether I would like to be the student of this person. I think that's a good thing to do. And as I mentioned in the seerah, we have dalil for this, that this is what the sahaba also did. Now, having come to that conclusion, then it's not a matter of then sitting in judgment and pinpointing and fault finding. This is a big disease of the, you know, students and potential students who even sit in the majlis of the Shaykh with a critical mindset. They sit there looking for faults to see what they can find, and they can be sitting there for hours and they find one thing wrong, and they will point to that. And they would say, Shaykh, you did this wrong. Maybe you drank water with your left hand or something. You picked up the glass with your left hand instead of the right hand. Now, nothing wrong. Alhamdulillah, you have said something to the Shaykh. Alhamdulillah, he would have responded to that. He would have become conscious of the fact that he had made a mistake. The fact is that at the time he made the mistake, it was a mistake. So, in any case, he was not culpable. Allah would have forgiven him. Now, you pointed it out. So, thank you very much. He will make tawbah, so inshallah Allah will forgive him. The question is your mindset. With what mindset are you sitting in that majlis of the Shaykh? Is that a beneficial mindset for you? That is the question. It's not a question of, I mean, everyone has illa mashallah and illa Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Everyone has faults, everyone makes mistakes. So you caught a mistake of a person, big deal. So what, right? You caught one mistake, maybe there are a million other mistakes in his life which you are not even aware of. The question is your own approach and your own attitude when you sit in the majlis of a teacher. And that must be an attitude of submission, an attitude of respect, great respect, an attitude of feeling very fortunate that you have the opportunity of sitting in that majlis. Now, you need to get to that, and that's the reason I said, do your checks and so forth. Ensure that you are with the right person. But once you are with the right person, it is not your job to point fingers. It is not your job to find faults. Unless the person does something which is really, you know, over the top. For example, I mean, alhamdulillah, you know, I mean, we were taught that even to point out a mistake of a elder, we are not even talking about no shuyukh, even to point out the mistake of an elder is a sign of impertinence, it's a sign of lack of respect, it's a sign of your bad manners. That's not your job, let somebody do it, it's not your job. You were not created to point fingers at your elders and at your shuyukh. So that's very important to sit with a attitude of respect. Second thing is, you are the one in need, not the Shaykh. You are the one who needs what he can give you. He has no need to give it to you. He has got a million other people who can take it from him and who are happy to take it from him. So don't try to dictate to him what is convenient for you. Many times people go to the Sheikh, they ask the Sheikh, I would like to meet you, Sheikh, to ask you a certain question. I would like to come and learn something from you. And then the Sheikh says, okay, so come after Asr. But you see, that is not convenient for me. Who cares what is convenient for you? You are the one in need. So make it convenient for you or go find somebody else. As simple as that. Right? Don't try to impose your will on the scholar, on the teacher. You make your, you arrange your life in a way where you can take advantage of what the scholar has to offer. And as I said, he's not the only scholar in the world. There may be many others who are compliant with your schedule, so most welcome. You know, go and learn from them. But when you go with an attitude of submission and go with an attitude of enormous respect. Third thing is time spent with the Sheikh. Please understand, my brothers and sisters, the Sahaba became Sahaba because of Sohbah, because of the Sohbat of Rasulullah. They didn't become Sahaba by reading books. Nothing against books, but this is the reality. And that's the reason why also it is so important to check out all the different things, because when you are with the Sheikh, you are not just attending a class. You are not just listening to some words. You're not just reading a book. You are observing, and you should be observing, everything that the Sheikh is doing. How he walks, how he talks, how he eats his food, how he talks to people who serve him, how he talks to the people within quotes of lower status than him, how he talks to his family, you know, how he is with them, not just talks, but how he is with them. Is there a smile on his face? Is there a scowl? Is he focused on nitpicking and pointing picking small mistakes? Or is he forgiving? Is he compassionate? What does he forgive? What does he not forgive? His adherence to the Sharia, his adherence to the Sunnah, there's nothing more important than that. There's nothing more important than adherence, a strict and complete adherence to the Sharia and the Sunnah. Extremely, extremely important. The fact that he does not follow bid'at, the fact that he does not invent things, the fact that, what does he do, what does he not do, every single thing, when you are in the company of the Sheikh, is something that you should be looking for, something that is worthy of emulation. That's the reason why it's important to ensure that you are with the right person, because otherwise you will learn wrong things, and you will imagine them to be right because your Sheikh is doing that. I see this quite a lot of times. People do something, say, oh, but my Sheikh does it. Your Sheikh is not the Nabi, right? Your Sheikh is not. If your Sheikh does it, something wrong is wrong. So make sure that you are following somebody who is worthy of being followed. Don't just go and follow someone blindly. So that's very important. And that's the reason why you must pick correctly. But once you pick correctly, then also it is very important when you are in the Sohbat of the Sheikh to observe everything, to make notes. Don't walk around like a policeman with a notepad, but definitely observe what the Sheikh is saying and doing. And if you have any doubts, then very respectfully, alone when you are with the Sheikh, then seek permission and then ask whatever doubt you have. Sheikh, can I request you? I have a doubt. I would like to ask you. And then he says, yes, ask me. And then you say, well, Sheikh, in this particular case, this is how you spoke to somebody. This is what you did. Could you please explain it to me? Don't say you spoke to somebody, but that was wrong. Rasulullah ﷺ didn't do that. These are all very bad ways of behavior. The reason I'm saying it is because this is unfortunately the standard of our manners, and we need to change that. So in the Sohbat of the Sheikh, observe everything and then learn from that. Make sure that you are not wasting your time when you're with the Sheikh. I am a great believer in keeping notes. I'm a great believer in taking notes. Make sure that you are doing it. If you are going to be taking notes on your phone, tell the Sheikh that in advance, because otherwise it is quite likely and quite reasonable that he thinks that you are playing with your phone, or you're God knows, watching movies or something when you are, instead of sitting in the class, and he might get irritated. And instead of getting, good dua, you end up irritating your teacher. That's not a good idea. So if you are in the habit of writing notes on notepad or whatever on your phone, then please make sure that the chef knows what you are doing. Otherwise, use a pen and paper. I mean, nobody has any problem with that. Of course, obviously, don't use pen and paper and doodle on it. I mean, take proper notes. But as I said, even if you are doodling, at least people are not irritated because they expect you to be doing something useful instead of doodling. So observing is very important. And spending of time with the sheikh. Now, you know, in the in classical times, nobody went to shuyukh for the company with a timeline, right? For example, Sheikh Hatim al-Asam, one of the great tabi'un, his sheikh was Sheikh Shaqiq al-Balqi, rahimahullah ta'ala. Sheikh Hatim al-Asam, rahmatullah alayhi, spent 35 years in the company of Sheikh Shaqiq al-Balqi. Now, I won't even say I don't expect you to spend 35 years. Why not? Why not? I mean, if people were focused and they wanted, they knew what they wanted and they took the time that it took. Now, this is the whole issue of priorities. The question is, what is important for you and me? Today, if you look at it, we routinely spend 35 years in what we call work, right? Why? Why do we do that? Because we consider that to be important. We spend literally, if you take from the time you are in school all the way to the time you get a professional qualification, you are looking easily at 25 plus years. Why do you do that? Because you think it is important. So if we thought that our spiritual development was important, if we thought that Allah was important, if we thought that learning of deen was important, then it would be perfectly logical, normal and completely unremarkable to spend the same amount of time learning Quran, learning Sunnah and so forth. Today it seems very unusual, it seems very peculiar. So even somebody like myself mentioning this, in the back of my mind is the thought that maybe I should be apologetic about this and say, well, you know, I don't expect you to do that. No, I expect myself to do it, and so I expect you to do it as well. If it takes 35 years, that's what it takes. The whole issue is to look at what is important and to do it. That is very, very important. To ensure that we do what is important and to take the time and energy that it takes to do that. That is a very, very critical thing to do. So spend time with the Sheikh as much as you can spend. Now you might say, well, you know, I have my work and I don't have enough leave and this and that and the other. Everything is doable if you put your mind to it. When I decided in 1983 that I wanted to become a leadership development consultant, I spent every single free time, every single vacation period, including all Saturdays and Sundays, in learning how to be a leadership development trainer, in reading, in learning, in traveling from place to place, through facing all kinds of difficulties in travel, learning from other people. From 1983 to 1994, that whole period, I didn't take one single day's vacation. Why did I do that? Because I thought that is important enough for me. And if somebody does that for his deen, so what's so remarkable? But very important for us to spend time with your sheikh. Because you can't imbibe, we're not even talking about knowledge as in information. We're talking about knowledge as in experiencing, as in understanding. And you cannot do that in a short time. You cannot do that overnight. So that's very important for us to keep this in mind. I hope I have covered all the questions that arose in my mind. Please feel free to ask any questions, inshallah. Taking this forward, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to have good teachers and to be good students for those good teachers and to benefit from that. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatullahi.